Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're embarking on a journey into what our source material calls the first anchor of mindfulness.
That's right.
It's all about grounding mindfulness, and it comes from Chapter 07. Really foundational stuff.
Absolutely.
Now, you probably remember we set off from that dangerous shore, as we've called it, on our basic RAFT to freedom. And just a reminder, that's pronounced raft, like the boat. That raft built from the five gifts and, you know, held together by the rope of compassion.
A strong image.
It is. So think of this deep dive as our first big stop. We're pulling into the island of grounding mindfulness.
Okay.
And our mission today really is to understand why the body is so incredibly central to this whole practice.
That's the core question. Mm-hmm. Our goal here is to really extract the key insights from this chapter, specifically about mindfulness of the body.
Right.
We want to get a handle on its fundamental role, how it helps us build self-awareness and, well, navigate life's challenges mm-hmm. with a bit more stability. And it's worth saying, our source material is really drawing from Gautama's teachings on the four foundations of mindfulness. We're just framing them here as anchors for our raft.
Okay, anchors. So we're on the island of grounding mindfulness. Big question. Why the body first?
Yeah. Why start there?
Well, the chapter kicks off with this beautiful quote from Thich Nhat Hanh. He says, "Your body is a piece of the universe you've been given. So mindfulness of the body is not just a practice. It is a celebration."
That really sets the tone, doesn't it?
It really does. It reframes the body, not just something we have, but something we're deeply connected to, part of everything.
Exactly. And building on that, Gautama's four foundations, they're traditionally taught in a sequence. Body, then feeling tones, then the mind itself, and finally, mental processes.
Okay.
Our source presents these as the four anchors of mindfulness. They're the tools, essentially, that stabilize our raft, that give us that safety, that security for the journey.
Got it. Four anchors for stability.
And what's really interesting is why the body is the first anchor.
Yeah, why is it number one?
Well, it's our most immediate material. It's the very substance of our vessel, you could say. It's always in direct contact with the water of experience.
Always in contact.
Think about it. Our bodies are always here. They're always happening now. Yeah. This kind of inherent present moment thing makes the body the most accessible starting point for awareness.
Ah, okay. So if our minds are often off, you know, worrying about the future or stuck in the past.
Which they often are.
Right. The body is like our tether. It pulls us back to right now. That's why we start here.
That's precisely.
The actual sensations, feet on the floor, clothes, breath, they're always happening now. They're tangible. You don't need to think about them. Just feel them.
Exactly. It bypasses the abstract concepts.
So grounding awareness there in physical experience pulls us out of our heads and straight into life as it's actually unfolding.
It's incredibly direct. And this connection gets even deeper when you think about Gautama's original insights.
Awesome.
Well, it's through our bodies that we directly experience what he termed dukkha. That sense that life can be difficult, painful, disappointing sometimes.
We feel it physically.
We feel physical pain, yes. But also the constant ebb and flow of sensations, pleasure, discomfort, and the big ones. Birth, aging, illness, death. It's all experienced through the body.
Wow.
So the body becomes this direct field for observing impermanence, that ever-changing temporary nature of everything. It's right there. Our primary classroom for these fundamental truths.
That ties into something else the source mentions, conditioned existence. This idea that everything happens because of causes and conditions, right? Nothing's fixed.
That's a perfect bridge, yes. If everything is conditioned, then both our minds and our bodies are shaped, deeply shaped, by past and present causes and conditions.
Can you give an example?
Sure. Your mood right now may be conditioned by how you slept, or something you ate, or news you heard. Your body's energy levels.
Yeah.
Conditioned by food, exercise, rest.
Right. Makes sense.
So by investigating the body's changing nature, the aches, the ease, the energy shifts, we start to get insight into our sense of self.
How does that work?
We begin to see that this self isn't some solid, unchanging thing. It's more like a dynamic process. And importantly, largely beyond our ultimate control.
Ah, okay. Seeing it as a process.
Yes. And understanding that helps loosen the grip of me, mine, myself. It's really important to stress. Mindfulness of the body isn't just about relaxing.
It's deeper than that.
Much deeper. It's a profound practice for recognizing and hopefully responding more skillfully to the fundamental reality of existence, which is flux, change.
Seeing clearly, not just feeling good. Got it. And the sources say Gotama taught several ways, several aspects of body mindfulness, like different lenses.
Exactly. Different angles to look from. And we'll just introduce them briefly now. Think of it as a preview, because we'll dive much deeper into each one in later deep dives back here on the island of grounding mindfulness.
Okay, a little taste of what's to come.
All right, so these six aspects, they're distinct but linked. Ways to peel back the layers. First up is mindfulness of breathing.
The classic starting point for many.
It often is. Just observing the breath coming in, going out. Noticing if it's long or short, deep or shallow. It's always there, always changing, always present.
Okay, breathing. What's next?
Second is mindfulness of postures. This means noticing whether you're walking, standing, sitting, or lying down.
Just knowing what your body is doing.
Yes, and being aware of the transitions, too. Oh. Like feeling the shift from sitting to standing, the muscles engaging, the balance adjusting, being present in how your body occupies space.
I can see how that grounds you. Number three.
Mindfulness with clear comprehension. This one expands awareness into all daily actions.
Like what?
Like moving, eating, getting dressed, talking, even going to the bathroom.
Oh.
Bringing that same quality of attention you might have when meditating into everyday moments.
Really noticing the feeling of, say, brushing your teeth.
Exactly. The sensation of the bristles, the taste, the movement. Fully there.
Okay. Number four.
Fourth is mindfulness of the body's anatomy. This is more of a contemplation. Seeing the body is made up of parts, hair, skin, bones, organs.
Like looking at the components?
Precisely. The aim is to see it less as a single solid me and more as a collection, a complex assembly. Helps dismantle that fixed sense of self.
Interesting. And the fifth?
Mindfulness of the bodily elements. Mm. Here we contemplate the body as composed of, well, elements. Solidity like earth, fluidity like water, heat like fire, and movement or vibration like air.
Seeing ourselves as part of nature, in a way.
In a very direct way.
Yeah.
Recognizing our body is made of the same stuff as everything else physical. Again, chipping away at the idea of a separate permanent self. It's all interacting, changing elements.
Okay, one more, number six.
And finally, mindfulness of the body's impermanence.
Right.
This involves reflecting on the body's natural processes, aging, decay, and eventually death.
That sounds potentially heavy.
It can seem that way, but it's not meant to be morbid. It's more about cultivating a clear-eyed view of reality. Appreciating the present moment, because it is temporary, and letting go of clinging to permanence. Facing our mortality gently.
Wow. Okay, that's quite a range. Breathing, posture, actions, parts, elements, impermanence. Six different doorways.
Six doorways into an awareness of the body.
And you mentioned these practices are built on the five gifts and held with compassion, the foundations of our raft. They help us see the body clearly, right? Without judging or pushing away or grabbing hold.
That's the ideal, yes. Clear seeing. And it's worth saying, as you explore these more deeply later, some will likely resonate more strongly with you personally than others.
That's okay.
Perfectly okay. It's natural. Follow what resonates. But they all contribute in their own way to this overall awareness of our bodies, helping us see our physical reality more profoundly.
Exactly. And this clear seeing is just so essential for understanding that life can be challenging, that dukkha is real. It also helps dismantle those delusions we often carry.
Delusions like things being permanent, or that we have ultimate control, or that our body is this reliable source of nonstop pleasure, or even that it's a solid, unchanging self.
Ah, the things that often trip us up.
Precisely. Those delusions often fuel cravings and compulsions, the things that can pull us back towards that dangerous shore. So this understanding, rooted in the body, helps us locate and really secure that first anchor of mindfulness.
Okay, so we have these ancient practices, these deep roots. But why does this focus on body awareness matter so much for us today on our journey? The source material actually brings in some modern perspectives too, right? Science, psychology.
It does, and it's fascinating how they align. From neuroscience, for instance, we now understand much more about interoception.
Interoception.
Yeah, it's basically our brain's sense of the internal state of our body. It's crucial for regulating emotions, for self-awareness, even decision-making. Brain areas like the insula are key players here.
And mindfulness helps this.
Yes. Practices like body mindfulness actually strengthen these interoceptive pathways. It's like building the muscle for tuning in. We literally rewire the brain neuroplasticity to better process internal signals.
That's amazing.
And conversely, we know chronic stress or trauma can disrupt interoception. It can lead to feeling disconnected, numb, or overwhelmed. Body-based practices are vital for helping restore that connection safely.
Okay, so neuroscience backs it up. What about psychology?
Well, in psychology, there's a growing recognition of the body's role. Think about body-focused therapies like somatic experiencing or sensorimotor psychotherapy. They're increasingly used, especially for working with trauma or deep-seated patterns.
Because the issues are held in the body.
Often, yes. The idea is that unresolved experiences can get stored physically. And look at established programs like MBSR, mindfulness-based stress reduction, or MBCT for depression. Yeah. They heavily feature the body scan and mindful movement.
Right. Those are core practices.
Absolutely. Because they work. For people navigating really challenging life patterns, ignoring or dissociating from the body is common. Reconnecting gently, safely, is often key to moving forward. Understanding our physical stress responses, fight, flight, freeze, is also part of this.
So psychology sees the body as central too. Any other perspectives?
Philosophy offers insights as well. Think about phenomenology. Philosophers like Merleau-Ponty emphasize lived, embodied experience as primary, more fundamental than abstract thought. Our body is how we are in the world.
Our direct experience.
Yes. Yeah. And existentialism grapples with our finite physical existence. So cultivating body awareness aligns with valuing direct experience and understanding the concrete reality of being human, not just theories about being human.
It's really striking how neuroscience, psychology, philosophy, they all seem to point back to the wisdom of starting with the body.
They really converge on that point.
It's not just exercise, then. It's a gateway. A gateway to understanding ourselves better, managing emotions, seeing reality more clearly. Especially important on this journey to freedom we're discussing.
Well said. Which brings us nicely to our Remember to Remember section.
Okay.
So, the key takeaway from this deep dive. We've introduced the first anchor of mindfulness. That is, awareness of the body. It's our primary tool for grounding mindfulness right here in present reality. It continues that work of recognizing what it means to be human, embodied now.
And it's such a powerful anchor, isn't it? When we turn our attention towards these physical sensations, postures, movements, and crucially, hold them within that ethical frame of the five gifts and with the warmth of compassion.
Yes, the holding is key.
We start to see existence directly raw, unfiltered. This grounding mindfulness helps us navigate away from that dangerous shore with hopefully more clarity, more stability. It really reminds us the body is where life happens. It's where we feel the challenges, the dukkha for sure. But it's also precisely where we can anchor ourselves as we build and navigate our raft toward freedom.
Beautifully put.
Yeah.
And as we wrap up, perhaps a couple of questions for you to reflect on.
Please.
First, right now, without changing a thing, can you just feel the physical sensations present in your body? Maybe points of contact, temperature, tingling, pressure, maybe tightness, maybe ease. Just notice.
Just noticing what's already here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And second, think about times when your body might have been sending you signals. Perhaps stress, fatigue, discomfort signals you might have ignored or pushed through. What were the consequences, if any? And how might listening more closely be helpful on your own journey?
Those are really potent questions to sit with. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And as we leave the island of grounding mindfulness for today, just remember, this is only the beginning of exploring the body. We'll be back to systematically unpack those six methods we touched on.
Starting with the breath.
Starting with mindfulness of the breath in our next deep dive. So we really hope you'll join us as we continue this incredible embodied exploration, gathering the awareness we need for our journey toward that safe shore.